461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion with us each and every day as we face the issues. I pray that you're tuned in each day. It is my prayer that you'll invite others to join in the broadcast each day by calling in, joining in the discussion. Lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number to call in after the brief monologue, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're responding to an issue that I believe has gripped the attention of America and, yea, around the world. A tragic event. A devastating event. A deadly event. Over the Potomac River. Right there in D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, with the crash of the plane, passenger plane, with the helicopter, I believe it's 67 people that lost their lives. They're not giving any hope for finding any survivor. We're talking about responding to the tragedy. Responding to the tragedy. How do we respond to tragedies? Now perhaps you say, well, that's an unusual question. No, it's not. According to the scripture, there's an appointed time to be born, an appointed time to die. And we have witnessed that in tragic events down through the years. For example, before the going on the air this morning, we, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps and I, were talking about some of the tragic events. Just a few years back, we had 9/11. About 3,000 people lost their lives in one fell swoop. What caused the tragedy? Who's in control? How should we respond as Christians, conservatives, to these tragic events? We're going to talk about that today as we continue to pray, ladies and gentlemen, for the families that are grieving over the loss of their loved ones in the mid-air tragedy over D.C. The questions continue to swirl over the cause, and the questions that are majorly bounding about today: could the tragedy have been avoided? What caused it, and could it have been avoided? We're going to talk about that briefly, but we're going to make a transition to a biblical thought of what does the Word of God say? Does God see it? Does God know it? Does it take God by surprise? When we see tragic events like this, and it may be just a single car accident that's a tragedy, drowning that's a tragedy, a major multiple deaths in the tragic scenarios we have seen recently. But in either event, for the loved ones, for the family members, for those that are surrounding those that have lost their lives, it's a tragic event brought home. So what kind of counsel can we give? What kind of encouragement and advice? Does the Bible cover scenarios like this. Does the Bible talk about anything about the brevity of life? Hope after a tragic event. That is the focus we're going to take today. And that telephone number 904-831-0917. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. When Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, there's the declaratory statement made about the word of God. John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." What does it mean, truth of the Lord endures forever? It stays. It's not vacillating. It does not deplete, diminish, or change. Truth of the Lord endures forever. So it's really not called it the truth book. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, in the society in which we're living in today, there are a lot of people that do not believe in truth. In fact, George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, when I use that term, some may or may not be familiar with it. It was Orwell that authored the book entitled 1984, a dystopian novel. Orwell projected what the world would be like, what America would be like, in about 1984. And in part, he said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factual today. There's a disdain for truth, a rejection for truth. By the way, we can apply that to this tragic situation that we're talking about. I've listened to many reports and dialogues and discussions since this tragic event. I've read dozens and dozens of articles. And it's very easy to point a finger. It's very easy to say, he caused it. But is that the fact? Is it? Can we say that the tragedy is based on just one individual, one person? No, it's the multiplicity of things that are taking place. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about that as a truthful fact, there are those today on the left, the socialist Marxist media, and the Communist Democratic Party that are boring up in the back and rejecting some of the facts about this tragic event. In fact, it was tragic when I read the headline, this headline in particular, of some few weeks back. It says, "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth." And the article opens with Webster's Dictionary says, "Truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being the case in fact." 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say this. Each person determines their own version of truth. The headline being, "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth." Now, there is. If we didn't have absolute truth, we'd be in trouble. And the source of that truth is the Word of God. I tell people that we need to go back and look at everything that's happening locally, nationally, internationally. Everything that takes place, need to look at that through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? What does God's Word tell us? Just as in the tragic event that we're talking about today, God's Word has answers, directions, words of hope, words of encouragement. We're going to talk about some of those today. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about truth, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, is that we need to seek the truth. And as we delve into this tragic event with the helicopter and the passenger plane colliding, we need to look at some facts and talk about truth. And then how do we deal with it from a human perspective? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, again, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We have with us today Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps. Men, thank you so much for being here. Looking forward to what God is going to say in these moments. That my prayer is that it would be a benefit and a blessing to our listeners.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. It's always a pleasure to be here with you and Dr. Phelps. For the past few weeks, it's been a very good treat for me.
Amen.
And again, we want to send our condolences and our best wishes out to the families,
yes,
and the friends and loved ones who were involved in the tragedy. Of course, this is something that it's a very sorrowful situation. And we're not here to point fingers or anything like that, but we want to offer you comfort and hope coming from the Word of God.
Amen.
And if I'm right, Dr. Youngblood, I believe just this morning I saw on the news broadcast that one of the young ladies on the flight could have been from Ponte Vedra Beach.
Mm.
I don't know if you're aware of that
or
not.
Aware of that, no.
But I just saw that this morning, and I'm not 100% sure, but I saw that when I was getting ready to walk out of the house to leave for the broadcast this morning. And I think the father came on there, her dad came on. He was speaking some words, and I could see the heartbreak. I mean, he was truly broken. I mean, I could only imagine. I really can't put myself in his particular situation. I've only got one daughter and one son myself. And, of course, to lose either one of them would be tragic.
Yes.
So if you have a loved one on today, if you have a living mother or father, if you have children, grandchildren, go up to them and hug them today.
Amen.
And tell them how much you love and appreciate them, because you never know.
That's right.
That it may be the last time that you get a chance to do that.
You're right.
Now, I want to offer you some comfort coming from the scripture, and I want to say good morning to all my family and friends on today. But Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children have a place of refuge." God is our refuge and strength, the Bible says, and a very present help. That means he's right here, right now.
Absolutely.
In our time of trouble, and can I add sorrow in there, because that's where we are today. Mm-hmm. And again, I thank God for the USA, because we know how to come together. When tragedy happens, when good things happen, I mean, that's the moral fabric of America, and I thank God for the good old USA today.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Phelps, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be here today. Just a little, how would you say, thumbnail sketch. How should we, as Christians, respond to what we see taking place that we call tragedy?
Those of us who've had a tragedy in our home or in our lives know that we can turn to God, for we have a comforter. God is our refuge.
Amen.
We can look to God because he is the hope of the nation. He's the hope of the home.
Amen.
He's the hope for every individual. And he gives us the promise of hope in the scriptures so that we have a resource. We may turn to God in time of trouble and time of loss and realize that he's greater than our loss.
Amen. Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll make a transition for a moment. We talk about the hope and the trust and the Lord and the recognition that God is in control. But I want us to think for a moment the underlying tragedy that we're focusing on, to refocus our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. Looking at the headline, says, video shows DC plane, the plane crash involving American Airlines flight, Black Hawk helicopter. The deadly mid-air collision involving an airplane and a military helicopter on Wednesday night appears to have been caught on camera. The footage shows the bright, fiery explosion as the two objects collide. First responders were switching from a rescue operation to recovery operation. And it goes on in this article, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, talking about the figure skating team that's on board. It had that, some of the athletes, the coaches, their family members. They're returning home after a national development camp held in conjunction with the U.S. Figure Skating Championship in Wichita, Kansas. It even had some high-profile Russian champions in figure skating on the plane. So it's affecting multitudes of lives across America and even around the globe. And this article that I'm looking at here says, no survivors expected after the plane carrying 64 crashes near Washington. The chopper had three people, and 64 people in the plane, 60 passengers, four of the flight attendants. So you had a total of 67 people that lost their lives in that. Now the question that's being bounded about, that's being talked about by the politicians, both sides of the aisle, being considered by the FAA and all of the investigatory boards that's now on board. And one of the questions is, why only one flight controller doing the job of two? As I understand it, and I've got just a little smattering knowledge of piloting and flights, but my limited knowledge of that, I understand that in the flight control tower there in D.C., that there was a flight controller that should be assigned to controlling the helicopters and another flight controller controlling the airplanes. So it takes two at all times. But I'm told that when this accident took place, this tragedy took place, that there was only one flight controller. That's bad enough. But when you understand that the flight controller's radio frequency for contacting and talking to the helicopters was one frequency and a totally different frequency to talk to the airplanes, the pilots, it was a mass confusion. Secondly, I understand the requirements in that flight-controlled area was that the choppers not be any higher altitude than 200 feet. This particular plane was 350 feet above, or chopper was 350 feet above that, a elevation altitude of 550 feet rather than 200 or less. So there are a lot of things that comes into the play of that. I'm looking at a headline that says, we know how things were at the Reagan control tower before the crash, and this article says, and it's not good. Let me, ladies and gentlemen, take a moment, read about three brief paragraphs, and then if you have questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. We know how things were at the Reagan control tower before the crash, period. It's not good. This is dated January the 30th. The nation is reeling from the Reagan National Airport disaster. There are no survivors. The American Airlines flight that collided with an Army Black Hawk helicopter last night around 9 p.m. spared no one. 67 people on the aircraft and the chopper perished in what is the worst aviation accident in recent memory. For some, this was an event waiting to happen. Given the congestion, the length of the runway, and the variation of flight patterns, Reagan Airport has seen more than a few close calls. It doesn't help that the air traffic control tower has one staffer doing the work of two. The conditions before the tragic crash were described as not normal. The media lambasted President Trump for insinuating that DEI initiatives were partially to blame, along with the control tower. He was right about the latter. Staffing at the air traffic control tower at the Ronald Reagan Airport was not normal for that time of day and for the volume of traffic. According to an internal preliminary report, Federal Aviation Administration Safety Report said so. The controller who was handling helicopters in the airport's vicinity Wednesday night was also having to instruct planes that were landing and departing from its runways. Those jobs typically are assigned to two controllers, not just one. This increased the workload of the air traffic controller and can complicate the job very much. One reason is that the controllers can use different radio frequencies to communicate with the pilots flying planes and the pilots flying helicopters. While the controller is communicating with the pilots on the helicopter and the jet, the two sets of pilots may not be able to hear each other and to know what is happening. The tower there was nearly a third below the targeted staff level. The control tower, hear me, was nearly a third below the staff level required. The shortage has focused many controllers to work up to 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, in order to carry out the job. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can see how this could have caused the tragic event. But I want us to again think about, even as we talk about the tragedy and the human element in it and what causes it, what does the Bible say? How should we respond to the tragic events? We need to understand, first of all, the brevity of life. Ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't promise us tomorrow. He doesn't promise us all day today. We have the gift of breath and a heartbeat moment by moment by moment. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen, and Dr. G.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. I don't know why it's in my spirit, but, okay, everybody did not take that jab. I'm glad the new sheriff in town is going to, you know, get them back in their proper positions. And I don't know why in my spirit that the LBGQ, XYZ, whatever they want to call themselves, crazy Joe, they want to become air traffic controllers because that is sick. Because it's the air traffic controllers' fault. I do not believe it was helicopter pilots, and definitely not the pilot of American Airlines. I don't believe it was their fault. Because you have to control. I work at the airport. You have to control. I work at the FAA and Hilliard. You have to control those things. Just like you said, okay, if one person is handling two planes, you let them know exactly where they are and what altitude they are in. And if you drop the ball like that, you don't need to be an air traffic controller. Because this has not happened in years. I think it's in 91 or something like that. Florida Airlines or something, they hit the Potomac Bridge.
That was just a few years back. They called that a miracle on the Potomac, is when the pilot landed the plane on the water and saved most of the passengers, if not all of them. I don't remember the exact details of it. But the traffic pattern, and I've studied that on the charts, the traffic pattern for the glide slope coming in for the pilot to be able to see the VASI lights at the end of the runway for the landing is right over the Potomac, and yet they have the military choppers crisscrossing in front of and around the planes. That's the reason it needs to be that separation. And Kenneth, if you have worked in at the airport, you're familiar with what is called the oscilloscope, where the flight attendants, those in the control tower, supposed to keep a separate, I call them the little blurbs, the blips all over the screen. Each one of those little blips is a plane or a chopper, and they have to keep the aircraft separation. That was not happening, and it's understandable when you, as you touched on so correctly, it's the I believe it's the, and we can point fingers all day, and we're going to do that for a minute, but get to the bottom line is, how does God respond to this? What is God's part in this? But when you got one flight controller, and he's using one radio frequency to talk with the choppers, another radio frequency to talk with the pilots in the planes, it's an impossibility to have a cohesive communication with all of those that you're talking with to keep separation. And when the choppers are supposed to not be, the altitude not supposed to be any higher than 200 feet, and in this particular case he was 350 feet above the required level that he was to fly at, there's something wrong with the flight controller, something wrong with the flight control tower that's responsible for keeping that separation. I looked at a photograph of what was taking place at the time this tragedy took place, a photograph showing all of the planes in there, and it was literally dozens upon dozens upon dozens in the circle that was being controlled by those flight controllers. And to have just one on duty and supposed to do the job, and you talked about the DEI. I'm looking at a headline, Kenneth, I'll read this, get your take, and then we'll take our next caller. This says, diversity hires may have caused the deadly D.C. air collision. President Trump blasted former President Obama and suggested that diversity hires have led to the nearly the deadly airline collision on Wednesday at the Reagan National Airport. Quote, a group within the FAA determined that the workforce was too white. And then they had a concerted effort to get the administration to change that and to change it immediately. According to Trump, this was the Obama administration. Trump also blamed the former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg for focusing on diversity instead of competency. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said the mid-air collision over the Reagan National Airport was absolutely preventable. What happened yesterday shouldn't have happened. It should not have happened at all, he said. And when Americans take off in an airplane, they should expect to land at their destination. The bottom line is, and it's a pretty lengthy article, the bottom line is, Kenneth, and you're exactly right, the hire for, I believe, the most tedious, the most responsible task at an airport is out of the flight control tower, and it should be based on that individual's ability, not on the gender and not on the skin color, but the ability to handle the very strenuous job that's to be handled. Kenneth, our time is about up for this portion of the broadcast, but thank you so much for your call. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Good afternoon to both of you. I just have a comment, but with this crash, it just reminded me of the rapture, and it hit my spirit so hard about how we don't know our next second, and we may not make our destination, but Jesus Christ should be in our heart every day.
Amen. Well,
amen.
Said.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. Phelps, how do you respond to that statement?
I would say amen to what you just said. I believe that God's in control.
Absolutely.
Praise the Lord for that.
I'm thankful for that. If I didn't believe God was in control, I wouldn't want to get up of a morning.
Amen. Amen.
I am thankful for that. It's a loss. It's a tragedy. It's a sad, sad loss for the families and a heartbreaking scenario. But the bottom line is God is still on the throne. God hasn't gone to sleep. God's not turned his back. He's still watching. He's still awake. And he's still in total control. But Terry, thank you so much for your call today.
We need
to keep praying for those families, and God bless you as we keep looking up, because the scripture says, our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back in a moment.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL, St. Augustine.